Amen. Amen. Sweet. Happy Father's Day. Amen. Now, y'all know, let's be more excited about this. Oh, gosh, Happy Father's Day. Now, you know that anytime interaction and, you know, we, with couples and premarital counseling, you know, marriage counseling, you know, or if you've been around here long, I always take the woman's side. Okay, I'm just telling you. You know, guys are not breaking down the door to see me, okay? So, it's just, but, you know, for good reason, right, ladies? I mean, that I take your side a lot of time. So, anyway, with that said, you got to give these guys one day. Okay, come on. We give them a break, and we're going to come and give them one day. You need to really be super nice to them. No ladies are smiling. This is falling flat. It's like nobody. Hey, let's get here. Hey, the guys. And I'm not joking about that. I do take the ladies' side on this for good reason. But fathers stand up and they take the heat. All right? So got to be tough there. Amen? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We do praise you just to celebrate Father's Day today. And we thank you for the fathers that love you, love their families, and sacrifice for them. And so, Lord, we just give all things to you and praise you for that. And God, too, we just pray for your word that you speak to us and you teach us things we wouldn't otherwise know. And God, I pray you open our hearts and give us great insight this morning as we look into your word. So I pray you would just anoint me, and I just speak words of the Spirit, and we just give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, turn, if you will, to John chapter 10, verse 4. John 10, 4. You see, the title of the message here is, They Know His Voice. They Know His Voice. So let's look at this. John chapter 10, verse 4 says this. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. Now, what we're going to do this morning is a little different, you know, not a lot different, but we're kind of going to, like, hover in the clouds. Okay, we're going to kind of hover in the clouds, and what we're going to do is, like, review our salvation. We're going to review it, and it's like, so the things you know as you've accepted Christ, we're just going to kind of review that. And hopefully as we review it, we'll see what the Lord said about our salvation. And the more we grasp that and how solid we are in that, it impacts our daily life, everything. So, you know, it's like, I don't have to tell you this. I'm not a big rah-rah guy. Okay, do this, and yay, you know. I'm just not. And like, and those things have their places, but one of the reasons I don't like to do that, like messages or stuff, is because they don't last. They don't last. Years ago, there's in the Super Bowl, and this the two teams were playing, and the one teams were really vocal and rah rah and thing, and they went out and they got beat really bad. So afterwards, the guy asked him, he says, well, y'all were so fired up. What happened when you went out in the field? He goes, we got hit. See, I mean, rah-rah doesn't help a lot when you get hit. Okay? It's kind of a lot of smoke and mirrors a lot of time, you know? So the whole thing about it is Christianity is the same way. You don't need a lot of rah-rah. You need to be a solid that you can stand strong when you get hit. Because I promise you, you're going to get hit, you know. I mean, I always thought you come to know Jesus and you won't get hit. It's like, no, you come to know Jesus, you get hit harder. You know, it's like, whoa, this is, you know, this game can get tough. So just using those analogies, so I'm going to just relook. We're going to look at the salvation. But also as we're looking at it, this is how Jesus presented it. Okay, he did this. So, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I got a good message for the guys and gals, and I'll make this up. No, he said this. And so I think we need to pay attention. And so what we have here is following the Jesus is showing us something, and following the stunning work of God, he healed the man born blind. And then after healing the man born blind, Jesus basically presents himself as the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, and the only way to the Father. All right? You think, wow, Jesus, he made a big, statement. That's great, a nice rah-rah speech, and so everybody's, go Jesus. Not exactly, because this is what they said, and I don't have an overhead here, but just this is what they said in John 10:19-21. There was a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon, and he is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of the one who is oppressed by a demon. He's doing different work. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So they don't know what's going on. They can't figure this out. Okay, so Jesus is coming in, and they can't process through this. And so as we look at this, we need to remember to put the context, understand what's happening here, as Jesus is presenting himself, is the Jewish people, his audience, the Jewish people, were looking for the Messiah, and they knew the scriptures. We share people in the world and, go like, well, that's not so. They don't know probably anything. These people knew. These people had a foundation, all right? So they looking for the Messiah. They know the scriptures. And what Jesus did, he's coming in, he knows his audience, and he goes, I'm the guy you're looking for. And I'm going to show you through the Christ, I am the guy. So that's how he's telling them when he's talking. He's talking to that mindset. So they have some basis there. Also, if we lead into this, we need to realize that at the time, that the Jewish people were really agricultural focused. I mean, they were farmers, sheep herders. That was the focus. That was the foundation of their culture and their society. And because of this, Jesus said things having to do with agriculture and farming, and they would totally understand what he was saying. Okay, here in Ashburn, we might not. I don't know quite what. I hadn't seen any sheep this morning. It's like I don't know why he's doing it. Well, they knew. They fully understood when he talks about that. They knew what he is talking about, and so because so we see why did Jesus use the language he used. He said, because these are the people I'm talking to. They'll know what I mean, all right? So as a result, what you have, they fully understood shepherds, sheep, and pens, all right? They understood that. It wasn't new information. It's like, okay, I got you. Now also, there's another little piece about shepherds, sheep, shepherds and sheep and pen. Also, the shepherds, sheep, and pens are used throughout the Old Testament to refer to God in Christ. Okay, so this was the most, when he talks about shepherds, sheep, and pen, that's the most natural way for him to talk based on the Old Testament, most natural way to communicate to his audience. See, we're the ones that got to kind of figure it out, but these people knew. So you're getting the point here, and Jesus is saying, you're looking for the Messiah, and I'm the guy. Now, so let's look here, this is the reason Jesus speaks as he does. So we look at John chapter 10, 1 through 2. So Jesus is approaching these people. And it says this, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, all you Jewish people got this down. They did. They knew what he was talking about. See, that's what he's talking about. Now, I'm going to make a little note. I will elaborate it on here, but I think I underlined it up. You see where it says enter by the door? We can kind of guess. You got the sheep, but he enters by the door. Okay, and just to prepare you.
the door, the picture that the door provides is the Scripture. That's the door he enters by. All right? So, so we see here that Jesus is telling the folks, he said, anyone who tries to sneak into the sheep's pen, okay, his sheep, okay, anyone who tries to sneak in the sheep's pen, or the pen of where the people are, not even his people, who sneak into the pen where the people are, they try to sneak in to the sheep pen, and they don't go through the door. They don't go through the door. They don't go through the Scriptures. They don't go, based on the Scriptures. They sneak in by some other way, and he says, they're thieves and robbers. They're thieves and robbers. And he says, so you got to know who the shepherd is. You got to see the folks that are going through the door here, going through the door. Now, as we look at this, we understand, the logic can understand, who's the shepherd? Jesus. See, Jesus is the shepherd. Now, he's going to tell us on later on. So he's presenting this to the phone. He's the shepherd. And then, who are the sheep? They're people. Okay, in this case, it's Jewish people, but they're people. So you got the shepherd, and you got the people. And then, what's the gate? What's the gate? How does a shepherd get to the people? He goes to the gate. The Scriptures. That's how you know who he is. That's how you know who he is. Now, again, obviously the shepherd's the Messiah. The sheep are the people. The door is the one way for the shepherd to approach the sheep. The door is the way for the shepherd laid out by the Scriptures. And Jesus is saying, this is really, he goes, that's how you know who I am. That's how you know. Well, I remember I was at a Bible study one time. I don't even think I was going to church. Somebody came and asked me. And after I went to this Bible study, I didn't want to go any more Bible studies. But anyway, so he talked out, and this guy said, well, Jesus is going to come back someday. He goes, what will it look like? And the pastor goes, I don't know. We don't have a clue what it'll look like. And I thought, yeah, you do. Like that. But I wasn't leading the Bible study, and all of them more mature than I was. And I said, well, yes, you do. And I'm thinking, no. He says, we just look for somebody that comes and kind and loving people, and that's how we recognize Jesus. I didn't know anything at all, but I knew that was wrong. Sometimes you just have a little something. I just knew that wrong. And I knew the Scriptures told us how Jesus would return. It says in there. And so, being logical and going through there, it's like, this guy don't know what he's talking about. I never went back to Bible study. He was a guy that climbed over the fence to get to the sheep. You see? This is what Jesus is saying. Now, they get this, okay? They absolutely get this. So you see this picture. So when we understand this, we see that Jesus came as the Scriptures foretold. I told you. Jesus fulfilled the Scriptures and things I've shared before. The Bible is the unfolding revelation of Christ and the redemption of man. This is how we identify the Messiah. No question, right? And that's the reason Jesus also said in John 5:39, put it up there. It's just great. This is why Jesus said earlier, he goes, you search the Scriptures. You're in the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is they who bear witness to me. If you the Scripture and you don't get Jesus, you're wasting your time. Because the Scriptures point you to Jesus when you read the whole thing. And that's what he's telling them. So he's telling the Jewish people, which he can't. He said, you ought to know who I am. You ought to know. And he, I would have done. You know, I think I could have convinced them. You know, I could have stood up there and, you know, done a few lightning strikes on them. You know, laid out a few. I said, I am. You know, the Messiah, you know. I mean, he's something you better watch out. Man, that's a work of God. But see, what Jesus has done is like, no, that's the work of Satan. You don't believe that. If you want to know who I am, you have to come through the Scriptures. Y'all with me? So, I mean, so this is what Jesus is saying. He's making a point, and this is his approach. This is his approach to the whole thing. Now, so what we have here, knowing, and he says these are people who know his voice. You know, not his, he throws lightning bars. No, these are people who know his voice, and that's what's important to him. And knowing Jesus' voice is closely connected to reading the Word, the Bible. I was watching the, have you ever said, I just wish God would tell me? I was watching, we was doing our Alpha course one time, and Nikki gets up there, and he has a lot of neat little sayings there. He says, well, we say, I wish God would tell me. And he just said this, he gave us the Bible. See, he's told us. We shouldn't ever say out loud that I wish God would tell us. Because when we do, we're just saying, we don't read the Bible. So, you know, anyway, don't say that because I'll think you don't read the Bible. You know, I mean, you know, you get the point here. You get the point of what he is saying. And so as he goes on, hearing his voice is closely connected to reading the Word, the Scriptures. So we have the Scriptures, the door Jesus walked through to reveal himself to the sheep. We have it. That's the door. He walked through the door. It is presented in the Scriptures. Now, there's something else we have. Okay. Now, again, as I say this, Jesus is reaffirming so people know who he is. Okay. So he's like, okay, the Scriptures, it fits. And a guy that doesn't know much of anything, and they tell me that, well, I can't figure out, we don't have a clue what Jesus looked like when he comes. It's like, number one, you told me you don't read the Scriptures, and number two, you're telling me I shouldn't be here. See, it's pretty easy. Now, so here, this is what's presented. Now, here's something else that's really interesting that they present here. Besides the scriptures, we have something else. We have the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to see Jesus, and he brings up this subject a lot and explains the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, and it's important. I mean, if Jesus says it's important, it's important. So, let us look here at John 10:3. So again, Jesus is given this picture. Jesus is not a shepherd, okay, like they keep sheep. And sheep are not just sheep. The picture is of Jesus, and the picture is of people. So he's given us a picture, so we have to understand what his picture is saying. Like, Jesus is the shepherd, we are the sheep. But then he says this, the gatekeeper, John 10:3, we have overhead here. The gatekeeper opens the gate. Now, that should just click something in your head. Okay, that's not a throwaway words, okay? The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, we can just skim over that and just go on to something. Whoa, Jesus has just laid something out. He has really, talking to the folks here, he is, and he's telling them something that really is interesting. Now, you see, I put a little thing on the overhead. The gatekeeper is Holy Spirit. Well, it doesn't say that, no, but that's what he means, the gatekeeper. Who are the folks in this picture? Jesus and the sheep. So we got Jesus, we got the sheep. And they got this some joker as a gatekeeper. You know, who's he? Where'd he come from? gatekeeper is the Holy Spirit, and the gatekeeper is the one who opens the gate. Now think about this. Think about this. Feel like you're running against a closed gate, or people are running against a closed gate. In this scenario, what's the issue? Is the Holy Spirit hadn't opened the gate. He hadn't, to the other part of the analogy, he hadn't opened the gate to the Scriptures. See, I mean, all this starts coming together. So when the Holy Spirit opens the gate, it's going to be consistent with the Scriptures. They're on the same page. So here you've got the gatekeeper who opens the gates, the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes through the gate and calls his own sheep by name, and they listen to his voice. There it is. You got the whole thing. You got the. Now we can go with the other Jews, which what they said, this guy's demon possessed or crazy. I mean, that's what they say afterwards. They hear the same thing. They're going, God's crazy. So that's an option. But the truth, when Jesus says something, he said, I'm letting you know what happens in your life. I'm letting you know what's happening in the world so you can understand what's happening in your life and you can understand what's happening in the world. Jesus comes through the gate, the Holy Spirit opens. Now, I've told you before, and people share it with me, which back to me, which makes me happy because it means you're listening. But we're talking about, say, well, Linda and I always, we go someplace and we pray God into the meeting. We just naturally do it. You know, somebody asks us over for dinner. When we show up, just know we prayed Jesus into the dinner to come with us. We just naturally do that. Well, that's really what this is saying here. For God to use it, for Jesus to use it, the Holy Spirit has to open the gate. That's what he's saying. The gatekeeper is the Holy Spirit. He opens the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate, and the gatekeeper is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus walks through what the Scriptures say, through the gate that's opened by the Holy Spirit. Jesus walks through that gate. You see how this is working together? He walks through that gate. And then he does this. Here's a whole bunch of sheep. He walks through the gate that the gatekeeper opened, and he calls his own sheep by name. He calls them by name. Why don't these people come? I don't guess Jesus said nothing to him yet. I mean, you see what I'm saying? You know, and I think it'd be even worse. Why did he didn't know what their name is. He's like, well, no, I think he probably knows, but he's not saying nothing. But why is Jesus saying this? The shepherd comes through the gate, and he calls his own sheep by name. Now, how many of you think you're here by accident? You see, Jesus doesn't work with accident. He calls his people by name. So that's fascinating when we look at that. He calls them by name. But then something else happens, which is interesting. He calls them by name. And the confirming issue about this is that he calls them by name, and then his sheep listen to his voice. Got two things going. He calls the name, but they hear. Not just one. He calls, they hear. Now, they listen to his voice. Now, for me, you know, you're to talk about, this can drive you crazy about free will and God's sovereignty. You know, I don't know, free will and God's sovereignty. Well, this verse explains it, the whole thing. Here's God's sovereignty. He calls us by name. Here's our free will. We hear him. That's it. That's it. Prove God's sovereignty. He called my name. Prove your free will. I heard him. You see what I'm saying? So he's telling us a bunch of stuff with these sheep, okay, and this pen and this gate and the shepherd walking through it.
Jesus calls, we listen. Jesus calls, we listen. When I share with somebody or I'm sharing gospel, you know, it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, open up the gate. And I want to share the best I can what Jesus said. Okay? That's the sovereignty of God. Whether they hear is their free will. You see? That's how it works. And so it helps us when you go, and it even reinforces, you know, we ought to pray God into this meeting. Because the Holy Spirit will open the door every place it's needed to be open. Now, the key here in what it says, we know his voice. Now, think about this. He walks into a group of sheep, okay, and he speaks to all of them. Now, he doesn't. He speaks to his sheep. And, you know, and you look at it, you think, the sheep don't even know they're his sheep. You know, the sheep don't even know. How many in your salvation experience, somehow God touched you and you say, man, there's something bigger than me and I need to know what's going on. See, you don't even know you're his sheep. You just heard him say something. It's, oh my gosh, I need to pay attention. See, so he speaks our name. And by the way, he'll make something tailored to you. All right? Tailored to you. Who are you? And he'll tailor it to you. Okay? I always like to pick on Greg and Sophie. I've been trying to run them off for 27 years, and they just stay. Anyway, but it's like, I say, Greg. He goes, what? I said, not you. I was really talking to Sophie. No, when I say Greg, I'm talking to Greg. And that's what God does. When I talk to Greg, I talk to Greg. You know? If I have something to Sophie, I just call Sophie's name. And I'm going to have something different from Greg than I have for Sophie. See, that's how Jesus works. He works. And, you know, I shared a while back, you know, I memorized how to share the gospel and all the ways to share the gospel with people. And then some people just don't get it. And one of them was my dad. I went in everything. I mean, he cut me out at the knees, not in a bad way, 100 times. It just couldn't penetrate what I was saying. And I just, but I'm, like I was telling him a great message that Greg would have understood, you know, but he couldn't get it. And I finally gave up and I said, God, this old cowboy, you got to give me a message with a cow or a horse, just out of frustration. And God gave me a message with a cow and a horse. And my dad at 83 prayed to receive Christ. You see what I'm saying? He spoke to gatekeeper, the Holy, opened the door, but came in and spoke his language that he could hear. And gave it to me to say it out where he could hear. You see what I'm saying? I mean, this is a big, God has got his thing whole. So he's trying to tell these people, says, I am the guy. I am the guy. And so we have this section here that they know his voice. And we just listen to this. When he has brought out all his own, Jesus has spoke, he brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Gosh, this is a wonderful. Why don't these people understand? They never heard his voice. Yeah, they never heard his voice. The one that follow, know, they heard the voice, and they know it. That's the reason when you come to know Christ, people can't talk you out of it. Can't talk yet. No, I heard him. But I don't know. But I heard him. See, so anyway, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Now listen, this is so fascinating. A stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Strangers. I don't know who he is. You see how simple God's making it? We try to insert ourselves to do Jesus' work and figure out everything. He said, no, just listen to what I say. I'm doing a bunch if you just pay attention and work with me in what I am doing. All right? And here's the thing, such interesting. And so the leadership of the sheep is self-authenticating. The leadership of the sheep is self-authenticating. What I mean by this, the shepherd speaks. Okay, that doesn't make him the shepherd. The shepherd speaks, and the sheep know his voice. We prove he's the shepherd because we heard his voice. See, we heard his voice. And it's, was that the shepherd? We know it's because we heard it and we follow him. And if he speaks, we hear. The whole thing is self-authenticating. We don't need anybody to tell us. That makes sense? I mean, it's fascinating. So now the people, so here we are. And Jesus, and this is to make all pastors feel really good. You come to this point, and the people still don't understand. They don't have a clue what he's talking about. They don't have a clue. You know. So what Jesus does, he said, what I'll do, I'm going to paint them another picture. We'll give them another picture for them to work on. This is what Jesus does. So he says, okay, we'll set this picture kind of aside. Now I'm going to look at this picture different. I'm going to give you some more information so you'll understand about me. And it says then in John 10:7, you can listen to this, and it's great how he starts off. He says, so Jesus again said to them, okay, give another shot. We'll work through it. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door. Now we're in the same sheep pen, all right? So he said, I'm going to twist this around so you can have a better understanding of this. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. Oh, he led these people astray. You know why he led them astray? They weren't his sheep. And these people, for some reason, just camped out and just stayed with him. Why? Because they were his sheep. See that? All right. So, you have the whole point here. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So this is getting serious. I get this pen, you got this post, people, and you got people climbing over the fence and coming under the fence and all sorts of stuff and all this information. And Jesus said, wait a minute. No, I'm going to come through the door. Gatekeeper, open the door. Not only I come through the door, I am the door. You know, these other folks aren't the door. And you know, the thing of it is we need to understand that there's only this one way to be saved. And all the other ways and shepherds are false, and they only come to kill and destroy. People, all these other religions and stuff, they're not like benign. They're not benign. But they're so sweet. They've come to kill and destroy. But they're so sweet. That means they'll make you feel good all the way to hell. And we buy into that. Well, they're so sweet. You know, I mean, think about it. I like to talk about football. You know, I want these guys on my team because they're sweet. We'll just follow the sweet guys into the game. You know? Like that one guy, and this is in the Super Bowl, I can tell you who the person, his friend, Tarkenton, that's who said it. He said, y'all were so fired up, you went, what happened? He said, we got hit. He said, what happened? We got hit. You know, the rah-rah didn't work, see? But they were sweet. Now, so what I'm saying, people, we look at these false religions and stuff, and they're full of like kind, sweet people. And again, they're taking you to a road that leads to devastation and hell. See? And they'll be real nice about it. They'll be real nice about it. And Jesus just calls it for what it is. He calls it for what it is. And we need, I mean, we can be nice too, but we know what's going on. We know what's going on. So, now Jesus, now we got this point. Now Jesus is coming up in this thing. Now he kind of nails it. All right, he's, I'm getting through here. I'm talking to all you people. You're looking for the great shepherd. You're looking, I'm going to come in. And he nails it. So he's kind of led them up to this point. And in verse, in John 10, 11 through 13, he says this. Verse 11, I mean, he goes, I am the good shepherd. Now see, he just solved the picture. He's solving the picture, okay? I am the good picture. So wait a minute, I thought you were the door. I am the door, but I'm also the good shepherd. See, so, and he goes on to say this. Now again, these people are looking for this Messiah that's going to come and conquer the world. He goes, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus knows he's talking about himself. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. He said, I'll tell you who these folks are. I'll die for you. The rest of them won't. I give you eternity. The rest of them won't. Don't be fooled. They're not shepherds. They're hired hands. They're not shepherds. They're just paid to be there. You know, and it gets too tough, they ain't staying. See, I mean, that's, you see the whole analogy to what he is saying here. Jesus, the I am, the self-existing one, is not only the door, but he is also the good shepherd who lays his down his life down for the sheep. False shepherds are just hired hands and not real shepherds. When they see the wolf coming, they run away. However, Jesus protects the sheep from the wolves and would die rather than leave his sheep. Now, there's a slight analogy here, a little slight analogy here, and it also applies to pastors and elders. See, some will stay and protect, and some are hired hands, and they will flee because they care nothing for the sheep. Now, so Jesus, the I am, the self-existing one, the good shepherd, would die for the sheep, reconciling us to eternal God. So that's his purpose. He sees the reconciliation for the people for eternal God. That's why he's dying, for the people there. Yeah. And so Jesus shows his commitment, you know, how are you committed? You know, he shows us his commitment by dying for him. You ever heard, I don't know, guys use it all the time. I don't know if the girls use it or not. But you talk about doing something, and they say, you got any skin in the game? You know, you talk big thing, but you got any skin in the game? I put, like, Jesus had a lot of skin in the game. See, when he said this, you know. And so it's like, put up or shut up. You know, you're just a lot of empty talk. Or you're going to be the one that stays, commit. You see what I'm saying? So the principle there is Jesus, and it's we follow Jesus, we have that same commitment. So it says, and we have an overhead here, look at John 10, 14. It says again, I am the good shepherd. Now again, what are we going, I don't know, it just comes to mind, why are we going over this over again? Why is Jesus going over it? Okay, is it because if you've been alive a while, life comes at you. Okay, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's going to be, there's going to be terrible things happen. I mean, just, and that's inexplicable. You know, it just is. That's life. Well, if you understand this fully and are committed to what Christ said, you can stand there. You can take it. If not, you're just like, I had it with this. It's not what I signed up for. I just had it. But even in the mess, you would just,
all right, I'll move and I'll stay here. The song that Adam sang, I need to review Adam's songs when he puts up there. Because they really can add to my message. It's like, you know, it's like, that's a good point. But what he said, well, there were ruins, and he builds out of the ruins. You know, there's ashes, he builds out of ashes. You know, it's like, we don't understand when we hear stuff like that, and to see, like, wow, that's great building out of the ruins. Well, we think that's great, but that means that the ruins had to be destroyed. I don't like that part of the message. Never have liked it, you know? Or it's like, oh my goodness, he brings glory out of ashes. That means it has to be ashes. You ever seen ashes on the floor, you know? And it's like, no, I don't want that part of the story. See, he goes, but to get to this part, you have to be that part. When you're at this, you can't quit. When you're there, you got to persevere. And you persevere for one reason. I know Christ did. I know he died for me. I know he called me by name. And all I just want to, okay, God, I'll just hang in there. I'm hanging for you because I know who you are. That's the reason we share it. See, and if you don't know who you are, you can't do that. If you don't really know who you are, you can't do that. So that, and I think that's the reason Jesus goes to such an extent to explain this the way he does. So again, back to John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. And we got to know this. We got to know this. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. You know when we need to know that? When we're ashes. That's when I know you know your own. I know you know me. I hear your voice. I know. Okay. Then he'll take you to where you need to be. See, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. Now the next part. That's great. I mean, that's great. I know my own. But then he goes, and my own know me. If I go back to the football game, Fran Tarkin, that poor, I like Fran Tarkin. It is locked up. Minnesota Vikings. But that, he said that. You know, and when what happened? He got hit. Got changed the whole game. It just changed the whole game. But you have to, that's when you got to stay. That's when you got to stay. You know, I know he knows me, okay, but I know him. And you kind of, what proves that you know him is you stay. See, you stay. Somebody just like you kind of throw in the towel. You go, I don't think they ever knew him. You know what John says in 1 John? He goes, don't get upset. You see all these people walking away from Christ. He said, they left us because they never were of us. They didn't stay. The evidence of whether they knew him was that they stayed with him. Okay? And that only happens in bad stuff when you get hit. See, so Jesus is telling us all this stuff, which all the rest of the scriptures confirm here. And so here we go. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own. My own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. You think about this. The example is the Father. Jesus goes, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. You shouldn't quit, because I'm not quitting. I know. That's what he said. He put in the same example. If you know me, you won't quit. Like me, I know the Father. I won't quit. And he knows me. And I know you. You see what I'm saying? He's making his relationship, Jesus' relationship with the Father, he's equating it with our relationship in him. And he goes, I know my people because my people stick. That's what he's saying. And so, and then he ends it like this, and he goes, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down
my life for the sheep. I got skin in the game. No, got skin in the game. I lay down my life. You know, so it's proof. There's the proof in Jesus is showing. Now, so Jesus, the good shepherd, knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. The church, the leader, and the sheep, the shepherd, and the sheep, is a self-authenticating relationship. That's how you recognize it. I know the Father. The Father knows me, just like you. Speak, you hear. That relationship is self-authenticating that I am the shepherd and you are the sheep. You prove I am the shepherd and I prove that I spoke to you. But the two have to work together. And that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. Jesus speaks and we know his voice. Now, so here we get wrapping kind of up here. Now Jesus said, and I mentioned and made the point, he said, you know, I think some people are like, Wallace, you made the point. But he's talking to the Jewish people, and they know what he's talking to. I think that's really important. I've read these verses before and studied them and stuff and like that, and I never realized that he knows that it was to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people knew what he was saying. May not believe it, but they knew what he was saying. He's talking to them, you know, and he was painting a picture for them that they would fully understand. So as we come non-Jewish and look, hey, this is cool, but we miss a point when we don't realize, no, this is also to us. It was to them when we have insight, but now it's also to us. And so Jesus makes an unbelievable statement in this thing. Jesus gives insight to the Old Testament, his purpose to the entire world. He puts this verse in, and this is really important when we look at Scripture. And look at this, what Jesus says in John 10:16. When he's talking to these Jews, he goes, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. They're not Jews. They're not you. That's what he's told them. And they knew what he was saying. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring these people that are not of my fold. I must bring them also, these non-Jews and these Gentiles. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. Voila. How many Jews we got in here? You're a bunch of Gentiles that listen to his voice. See, he's saying it. This is what I'm going to do. This is the purpose. This is where I'm going to go. And then he goes on and he says this. He finishes and says, I'm going to the Jews and Gentiles and they will listen to my voice for a reason. For a reason. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. See, that's Jesus' view of the world. One flock, one shepherd. Now, there's a world movement. It's not what's demonic is what it is. It's not even nuts. It's demonic. And it's a subtle, kind of a crazy thing that happens. And it's to divide people up based on their race, divide people up based on their country, and kind of pit them together, and you know, who struck John first, I don't know, all sorts of stuff, and privilege, non-privilege, and see, and it's demonic. It's demonic. There's nothing Christian about this. It is evil, it is demonic, because Jesus said, there is one flock, there's one shepherd. Period. And we're not talking about nothing else. And as soon as you come in line with me, is one flock, everything else will fall out exactly the way I want it to. As long as you divide it up and try to fix everything, it'll go crazy and stay crazy. One reason, because people are doing it. That should be, you know, it's just people. They can't get this right. No way. And Jesus goes, no, you come to me. There's one shepherd, and I make one flock, and I pull them all together to serve me. And they hear me. That's what he's saying. That is what he's saying it right here.
saying it right here. And he goes, I'm after the world. Not just the Jewish people. Not just the Jewish people. I'm after the whole world. Now, see the way we have, wrapping it up here, the mystery of God is mankind being reconciled to Him. That's the mystery of God. That any of us come to Christ. Listen to this. John 10:17. All, bringing the world to Christ. And it says this, for this reason the Father loves me. Pause it. What? For this reason the Father loves me. Why? Why does the Father love Jesus? Because I'm the good shepherd. And there's one shepherd. And there's one flock. See, that's why the Father loves me. That's Jesus' purpose, and that's what He does. And He solves the world when we come to Jesus, and without Jesus, He'll never be solved. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life and take it up again. That's why Jesus, that the Father loves Jesus. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I'm the shepherd. I'm the true shepherd. I'm not a hired hand. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father, and that's why the Father loves me. I stay like a skin in the game. I'm reconciling the world. Now, so here we are. I told you we'd be in the heavenlies, kind of. Reinforced. I mean, no one could say, well, I never heard that before. Jesus died for our sins. Son of a gun. But He takes time to explain who He is and how He works. And it gives us an ability to understand, man, God is really doing something. And then when, excuse my French, when all hell breaks loose, you go, we're okay. We can walk through this thing. See, why? Because Jesus loves me, and He is surrounding me, and out of these torn down ruins, He's going to build what He wants. See, you got to have torn down ruins to rebuild ruins. You just see what I'm saying? See, and so we can stand. You can stand. Whatever's happened, you can stand. All right? And God will move on your behalf to show His glory. God, what do I have to do to show Your glory? He goes, stand. Stand. In the ashes, stand, and I'll rebuild it into my glory. That's how you can show my glory. Stand. Don't quit. So, with this foundation, we know His voice and stand strong in all circumstances. Proof is that we persevere. Oh, proof. I'm just going. 10,000 people come to know Jesus and I'll make $1 million. That's not proof. That's not proof. Proof is we persevere. Now, you can do all those other things, but proof is that we persevere. When all hell breaks loose, we persevere. This gives a deep understanding to the most well-known verse in the Bible. Total. We'll go back to John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him, they that know His voice, should not perish and have eternal life. Persevere. Persevere. And the glory comes. The glory comes. You have to persevere. And I mean, just like Fran Tarkin said, you got to know what old friends had. You know, going, we were fired up until we got hit. You know? And Jesus is telling us up front, you're going to get hit. I'm just telling you up front, you're going to get hit. But you persevere, and I'll work glory through your life, and God will receive the glory, and we'll be a participant. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your goodness. And two, Lord, we look at this, and you know, as we go over pieces of it, we think, well, this is, you know, the salvation. You died to pay the penalty for our sins.
Yeah, but you go through such detail of explaining how you work in this whole process. And it's to give us confidence that we could stand things we don't understand, things that seem overwhelming, that we know you are working. And if we don't understand, we can still persevere knowing that you will work it out. You will work it out. And we thank you, dear Lord. Lord, I just pray a blessing on each person. And fathers, you know, you've made it. You have made it where fathers will take the heat. You have made it where fathers are supposed to take the heat. The fathers are supposed to step up and take the heat for the family and for the wife and for the kids. And Satan cannot touch the family unless the father falls. Those of you that don't have fathers or, you know, have husbands, God says, well, in that case, hate that. So I will move in personally and cover you. Just like a father. That's how he works. That's how he works. So, in the name of the Lord Jesus, take the fathers out to eat this morning. Amen.